is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
The Supreme Court denying an appeal from Ghislaine Maxwell that would have drawn renewed attention to the case after President Trump has tried to tamp down on criticism over his administration's refusal to publicly release more files from Jeffrey Epstein's case. As for the rest of the docket this Supreme Court session, they're taking up, among other things, the banning of trans athletes in sports, voting rights, and the firing of federal workers.
Legal experts say the justices to watch in many of these big cases are Justice Amy Coney Barrett and Chief Justice John Roberts. Two conservatives, but two that are more inclined to find a moderate middle ground. And decisions in all of those cases are expected sometime before the end of June 2026.
That's ABC's Devin Dwyer, who covers the Supreme Court. State of Illinois and City of Chicago have filed lawsuit this morning seeking to block President Trump's federalization and deployment of the National Guard. The state writing, the American people should not live under threat of occupation by the U.S. military. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for Matinee on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. A former dean at UW-Richland has died. Donald Gray died at the age of 83 in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. Don worked as dean of UW-Richland, where he appreciated the students and their humor, especially when they filled his entire office with balloons. He moved to Madison in 1988, where he worked until retirement with the UW-Madison Foundation, raising funds for multiple projects and buildings that would literally help reshape the campus for generations to come. A celebration of Don's life will be held at Tower Light Senior Living in St. Louis Park, Minnesota, on Saturday, November 1st, from 1 until 2:30, followed by a memorial service at 2:30. Concerning poll findings regarding political violence in the U.S., a new Marquette Law School national poll finds Americans deeply divided over political violence. The poll taken after the assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk did show 58% of respondents saying it is always unacceptable to be happy about the death of someone they oppose, and 89% saying political violence is always unjustified. But the poll showed partisan divides. Among Republicans, 57% say left-wing violence is the bigger problem, while 50% of Democrats see right-wing violence as the bigger problem. Democratic state lawmakers are proposing an Abortion Accessibility Act following Planned Parenthood's pause on providing abortion services in Wisconsin. Representative Lisa Subek of Madison says the bill would remove various restrictions but does not change the Planned Parenthood situation. She said the medically unnecessary restrictions put in place by Republicans mean that many providers are either unable or unwilling to provide abortions. Subek announced the bill Wednesday along with State Senator Kelda Royce of Madison. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
The Brewers and the Cubs tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from American Family Field, where it's game two of the National League Divisional Playoffs. The Brewers winning game one 9-3, but Jackson Churio had to leave with a hamstring injury. Pat Murphy on his status.
The MRI came back, and it's inconclusive, and it's not a serious hamstring strain.
The Brewers jumped out to a 6-1 lead in the first inning Saturday. Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
Look, the game got away from us early, so it's not like it did, right? It got away from us, so... And it's a loss, and you move on from it quickly. There's no penalty. It's one loss. Doesn't count for more how you lose. We didn't lose well, but we lost, and you move on. That's how the clubhouse felt.
NBA, the Bucks are in Miami for a preseason game against the Heat. Giannis is now with the team after a bout with COVID.
He took a toll on my body. I'm not feeling 100% yet physically. Take it day by day. Get back in shape.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home of the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds and showers as we head through your Monday afternoon. High temperatures only in the lower 60s, a light north breeze. Tonight, shower chances will wind down. We'll see gradual clearing overnight, lows in the lower 40s. On Tuesday, sunshine and upper 60s. Right now, it's 55.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll review the Badgers game at Michigan and also the Brewers taking on the Cubs over the weekend. Where are we at in the NLDS? Jane Matinera, Matinera on Air, will join us and talk a little news as well.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Mutinoff coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We want to thank everybody who took part in our multi-state Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest for the last 2 weeks. It was really a lot of fun, and we love seeing where everybody is all across the state of Wisconsin. We learned so much.
Well, and I think the fun thing about that is I feel that we found place. So this past summer, sorry, words are tough, and I'm trying to find emotions to feel what I'm feeling, Jane. No, this past year, you, Todd, and myself went up north, and one of the stops was in Butternut. And the reason why we went to Butternut is because people from Butternut were texting in
for the contest.
For the contest.
Yes.
It gives us ideas of where to go and visit, because, you know, it's easy to go to those places that are very famous and popular and tourist destinations. They're all wonderful. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Love me some Hayward. Love me some Park Falls. But it also gives you the opportunity to hear about and then maybe visit these very small towns. And more importantly, talk to these individuals who live there. And what we find out, I mean, I personally felt the entire time we were there up north this summer, was that these folks want the same things that we down in the city want. You strip away a lot of the rhetoric, a lot of the yelling, a lot of the headlines, and folks, if they voted for one person, they also want good schools. They is the same as we do. Like, there's a lot of connecting tissue there.
Absolutely.
And it comes from people who simply just enter into the contest, and we see a place, and we're like, that's not a place.
Where's that place? Let's look at that place.
And then we find that place, and then we go to that place, and we place that place with people in the place. So that's a roundabout way of saying thank you for not only being a part of the contest, but also letting us know where you're from so we can probably be a part of it as well. It means a lot to us.
It really does. We love to come and visit. We really do. So some of our daily winners, and again, we were playing every day for the 2 weeks, up for grabs, $200 in cash and gold jewelry. Mm-hmm. Among those winners, we had David in Richland Center, who won, listening on WRCE. Lou Ann, who checked out WLAK in Amory, where Todd and I went a couple of years ago. And Angie from Hammond, listening to WSCM. So even if you're listening to one of our music stations, because Civic Media has a whole bunch of music stations across the state, you can be a winner too.
Yeah.
We are in the process of contacting grand prize winner who got those club level indoor seats to see Green Bay in Minnesota November 23rd at noon with a gas card. Once we get the winner contacted and all that stuff taken care of, we will announce the grand prize winner.
Yeah.
But if you have not downloaded the Civic Media app yet, we highly encourage you to do so, because that's the only way to play.
Yes. And if you don't have the app right now on your device, por qué? It is so customizable. It is so versatile. You can take us. We have gotten text message because here's the thing, folks. Words are tough today because I'm just so excited. When you download the free Civic Media app onto your device, you can call us through that app. You can text us through that app. You can leave a voice note from that app. Do you have to like us in order to leave a voice note? Absolutely not.
We don't.
We have heard from people who are not fans.
We do.
But you can contact us. You can also listen to us anywhere in the world. We've gotten text messages from Australia, New Zealand, Europe, East Brunswick, New Jersey. This is a app that you can take places, folks. And then also you can customize it to see the news that you want to get from the region where you live. It's just so versatile, so easy. And just like everything we do here, whether it's the contest or the app or the newsletter, civicmediatoday.substack.com, it's free.
Absolutely free.
Yes.
That's Greg's line. I know, that's Greg's line.
No, it's great. I'm loving it.
So again, thanks to everybody who took part. We hope you had as much fun with it as we did. Mm-hmm. It is National Banned Book Week. This is National Banned Book Week.
I feel like this is a national week we're going to get rid of. We're going to ban this one.
Well, we're going to ban National Book Banned Book Week, probably.
They do not want certain people in certain parts of this country not big on remembering our history. Mm. I feel like one of the reasons why we have National Banned Book Week is because we want to never forget what we and other cultures around the world do to dissenting voices and maybe slowly getting rid of Banned Book Week is another way of saying, well, that's
let's just disappear.
It's not that big. Hey, we were doing it for freedom and love and freedom and love, patriotism.
Yeah. It is National Banned Book Week, and because of that, the Wisconsin chapter of Writers for Democratic Action, they're going to have a public panel at the Waukesha Public Library this coming Wednesday, 7 o'clock at the Waukesha Public Library. Among their many panelists, Jackie Lydon, who has been on our show before, she was a national anchor for NPR and also a journalist. Barry Whiteman will be there, also featuring writers and poets. Kathy Giorgio from Waukesha, graduate of Waukesha North.
Correct.
She was on their Alumni Wall of Stars.
Yes.
Until they banned her book.
Well, they banned her book and she asked to be taken off the wall.
Yep.
I think that's a tremendous and feasible demand when you,
for her,
you get rid of the reason why they're proud of her.
Yeah. In 2023, this shocked me. Wisconsin was the second most banned book state in the U.S.
A question for the listeners right now. If you were to be asked that question on the state with the most banned books, and you said you got to name three,
what would be your top guess?
Honestly, and don't say it in retrospect or based on this anecdote. Really ask yourself that question. 2 years ago, you would have said, name the top three states. Would Wisconsin be on your list?
I would have said Arkansas, Mississippi, and probably Texas.
I'd say I would have said Texas. I would have said Kentucky. I probably would have thrown in Idaho. And that's not good of me or us to do. We shouldn't go assuming. There's plenty of evidence to show that states do ban books. But I guess for me, and I don't know, and Jane, I ask you this question. I want to hold on to this feeling that Wisconsin is still a bastion of good. We have so much history that's rooted in good, whether we're talking about union activity, whether we're talking about equal rights, whether we're talking about just trying to live a good life and be of service to our neighbors. When you hear things like that, I don't know how that makes you feel, but it makes me disappointed. But I still hold this hope that we're still good. The state's still good.
Absolutely. Our state is still good, but it's about all of this stuff that is happening around us that we may not be aware of because there is so much happening. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're focusing on this right now. If you live in Waukesha, you live in the Waukesha area, maybe you want to check this out. Again, Wednesday night, October 8th at the Waukesha Public Library, 7 o'clock. They're going to be talking about banned books. And another point that I think is important, data from 2025, so this year, from the American Library Association, shows that most school book bans, over 70% of school book bans, come from organized partisan movements, not from actual parents.
No, No.
It's not the parents whose kids are going to these schools. This is Moms for Liberty and other groups like that who have a very specific agenda, who are coming into school systems and starting this and making these efforts to ban books.
And the amount of times we've seen video or we've heard testimony from people who raise a book in the air and tell you how they dislike it. And then when they're held, their feet are held to the fire. Well, where did you come from? Well, like, how did you get this book? It was given to me. Have you read it? I haven't read it, but I just don't like the cover. I don't like what I've heard. I don't like anything about it. Well, okay. So let's break it down really quick. First of all, in a school library, yes, they can get rid of books that they deem are not right for children. I understand that. But there are also mechanisms in place where parents can talk to the libraries and say, my kids can't look at these books.
I don't want my children to access X.
Also, when we talk about public libraries, which actually, like, school libraries, that's one thing and that's another battle. But public libraries, it makes me even more sick to my stomach and nervous, because parents can walk in. If you are a parent, you open up an account, you put your child on the account, you can go right in there and say, hey, what's my kid looking at? This doesn't have to involve the cops. It doesn't have to involve aldermen, Congress, anybody. It's your private life. Your child, you walk in. We do not need Moms for Liberty invading a town and or trying to ban books from other states. This is not how we do things.
This isn't a grassroots effort. This is not a coming from the ground, actual parents who are concerned about this. These are outside groups coming in with a very specific agenda to disappear things.
Yes.
Good heavens. And I'll have to double check if this is on the list in Wisconsin, but in a number of other states, they have banned the Diary of Anne Frank.
Oh, yeah.
The Diary of Anne Frank, people. Think about that. Why? They banned that book. That book.
Why? So I'm looking up right now. There is no official, as it says, there's no statewide official book, a list of banned books. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel back in 2023 had a story that I'm looking at right now. I'll even look it up here, but there's a very good reason why. They do not want to face history. And even though it's not our American history, it's one that we are tied to. Anything has to do with tragedy, injustice, mass genocides. We're talking about we do not want to remember. Or no, let me rephrase that. We don't want to admit to. That is why the Smithsonian is disappearing articles, exhibits, and pieces on the enslavement of other humans, because this country will do everything it can to try to walk away from it, where, in fact, maybe 100 years ago, if we would just faced it and done a little sunlight on as a disinfectant, we'd be in a much better place. But no, we'd rather just forget about it. And the Diary of Anne Frank, that makes my grandpa fought in the war. And yes, he fought for Germany. I don't want to have to deal with that. Those books cause a level of discomfort to people in power, and they want to get rid of that discomfort. So they do what they can. They use their money and their influence, and they disappear them. And then they tell you that you're wrong for wanting it to be there in the first place.
Well, and don't forget, and I'm assuming that there are plenty of parents who are specifically buying banned books for their children to read, if that is the case in their schools. Stephen King, author Stephen King, is the one, when this discussion first started a couple of years ago, he said, you know, the best way to get kids to read books, ban them.
Yes.
Those are the ones they'll seek out.
It was the same thing when they, I understand the point of the musical artists who were against the explicit labels on their records. They felt like it infringed on their free speech. I understand that argument, but there is something to be said that those labels ended up making record sales go up because kids saw them like, well, what's on that record? Exactly. And Stephen King is a great, great example, too. He is a man who self-banned his own book because he felt like it was poisoning the minds of the readers. A book called Rage that had to do with a shooting in a school. And they found that book in some people's lockers, in some people's possession. And he finally said, it's out of print forever. We're not bringing it back. There will be no movie about it. And he hasn't budged on it. And he, the author, said, I can do this. You can't do it to me.
We're talking about book bans and an event Wednesday night in Waukesha at the Waukesha Public Library. Stay with us. Ollie, I see you on the line. We will take you on the other side. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Ooh.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The fall agriculture tourism season is underway. And from apple orchards to pumpkin patches, it's a great time to travel across the state. But have you ever thought about camping on a farm? There is a push to make a new law allowing farmers to host up to 3 paying campers without a license. Supporters say it's needed to help diversify their incomes.
To allow people to put a tent up in a pasture and experience stargazing, stay overnight in the pasture, and have rustic camping. When they're overnight for farm stays, pick up the eggs in the morning, have a farm breakfast.
That's Sheila Everhart with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. You can learn more, including where to go this fall, at the website WIAGtourism.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Are you Sally Flores, organizing director for the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition?
So you're okay with undermining the will of the voter? Great. Just, do you see how terrible that sounds? And when I translate gerrymandering to Spanish, it just means manipulating election results. It's exactly what gerrymandering is, but in Spanish, the wow effect, oh my God, even in the U.S., manipulates election results. And I was like, yes, and they have a fancy word for it. They've covered it up with almost unimaginable word.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the Board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Banned Book Week in Wisconsin in 2023. Wisconsin was the second most banned book state in the U.S. That's according to Penn. That's not good. There is an event Wednesday night, 7 o'clock at the Waukesha Public Library, where they're going to be talking about Banned Book Week. Ollie from the Northwoods has been waiting very patiently to join in this on this. Good morning, Ollie. What do you want to say?
Well, I just want to warn everybody about this banned book business. That was one of the first things that the Germans did that Hitler had ordered was the banning and burning of books.
Yep.
Huge, huge burning.
Bonfires.
Yes. And we are, Anne Frank is a model for every one of us to be reading. What's happening to us now is what happened to them. The Hitler's regime went into people's homes, pulled them out, arrested them, harassed them. And those things are happening to us now. Everybody should be watching. If you can't read Diary of Anne Frank, watch the movie. Mm-hmm. Watch Schindler's List. Learn about what happened then and see how it is happening to the United States now. And we need to be, to learn about that and to speak up.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, Ollie. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Read the Diary of Anne Frank.
And it comes back to a discussion point we've had numerous times, and I'm going to keep harping on this. I don't want it to be until it happens, but it's going to affect you one day. And you know, let's take tariffs out of the equation. Let's take cost of living out of the equation. I'm talking about this kind of stuff. The overarching hand of the authority.
Government
to say, you can't read this. You can't do this.
You can't write this.
You can't stay here. And eventually a knock on your door will happen. I don't care how Trump you think you are, how MAGA you think you are. And you're sitting here listening to me going, that'll never happen to me. I'm too MAGA. I'm too rich. I'm too white. I'm too male. It will someday not be good enough for them. You will not be good enough because you offer them nothing. And a knock will come on the door. I'm perfectly, perfectly aware that a knock may come at my door. Perfectly aware, but it may come at your door one day. And I want to know this. What book have we banned that is doing society better now? What book?
That's made it better since we banned it?
Correct. What book has been banned outright, unavailable to the reading public of America that is now making us better? Because as far as I know, usually, and it's funny, actually, Calvin, it's funny that you played the Beatles, because the Beatles in 1965 were the focus of a record burning campaign because of something John Lennon said.
Oh, yes.
And the conservatives of this country went absolutely insane. And they said, that's fine for us. They rebought our records. But the thing is that this country isn't better because we tried to get rid of the Beatles. We're not better because we want to ban Anne Frank. We're not better because we want to make sure our kids can't read books that we might not like. It's better that they learn. It's better that we understand. And by having banned Book Week, we keep in our hearts the history of the fact that we had leaders who said no, and we said no, thank you.
What happened to knowledge is power?
Knowledge?
That's what I was taught growing up. Knowledge is power. The more you know, the better off you are.
And that's threatening.
And that means knowing all of history, even including the bad, icky parts.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge is power.
It brings you something. It brings a reader. It's like traveling, Jane. You know this.
Opens the world.
It opens the world to you. It allows you to take in other ideas and other people's experience. It brings something that scares the living bejesus out of these people, which is nuance. The moment you introduce nuance into the conversation, they go insane because they want it to be good, evil, bad, good, patriot, traitor. There's no room
for middle.
There's no gray whatsoever. Because the moment you do that, it messes with everything they believe in. And more importantly, everything they're trying to get their followers to believe.
This event, again, going to happen Wednesday night at the Waukesha Public Library at 7 p.m. They're going to have a panel with banned book authors, including Kathy Giorgio, who mm-hmm. is from Waukesha, Jim Landwehr from Wales, Mary Wimmer from Wales, journalist and activist John Norcross from Oconomowoc, and also Jackie Lydon is going to be there, a past NPR national anchor and journalist. So check that out if you're in the Waukesha area Wednesday night, 7 p.m. at the Waukesha Public Library. Go buy some banned books.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Give them to your neighbors and mm-hmm. pass them around.
Yes.
Loan them out.
Yep.
That might be a good thing for everybody to do.
Have yourself a banned book club.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah. The first one, Charlotte's Web. Who knew? All right.
We have news coming up next. And then, as we always do, we're going to take a breath and lighten it up and have a little audio sorbet. So stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Paperback writer.
Paperback writer.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Children and Families have announced an increase in child care subsidies going into effect this month. According to a press release, the maximum subsidy rate under the Wisconsin Shares Child Care Subsidy Program will now be at or above the price of 75% of child care slots. The previous rate in 2025 had been at or above about 41% of slots. The change will benefit around 15,000 families by providing average savings of around $175 per month. Attorney General Josh Call announced that Wisconsin and a coalition of states secured a court order protecting federal funding for emergency preparedness and public safety. Last week, the U.S. District Court for the District of Rhode Island granted summary judgment in a lawsuit brought by A.G. Call and 20 other attorneys general against the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Department of Homeland Security. A.G. Call and the coalition sued the Trump administration for threatening to withhold critical emergency preparedness funding. In the filing lawsuit, A.G. Call and the coalition argued that the conditions exceed DHS's legal authority and violate the Constitution because the programs in question were established to help states prepare for, protect against, respond to, and recover from catastrophic disasters. In the decision, the court agreed that DHS violated the Administrative Procedure Act when it tied unrelated conditions to receipt of FEMA funds and that the conditions violated the Constitution's spending clause. The court further determined that DHS made no serious attempt to provide a fact-based reason for its action and that the, quote, vague and confusing language, end quote, used in the conditions made it nearly impossible for states to comply. I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Peaky Blinders is the gift that keeps on giving to its loyal fans. Netflix and the BBC have announced that the popular show about the Shelby crime gang is getting a two-season sequel, according to Screen Rant. The period drama, created by Stephen Knight, will have 6 episodes in each season that will air on BBC One in the UK and Netflix worldwide. The new seasons will pick up after the Peaky Blinders movie, also written by Knight, called The Immortal Man. There is no release date yet for the film, which stars Cillian Murphy, Stephen Graham, and Rebecca Ferguson. There were rumors that the movie would be the end of the franchise, but that no longer appears to be the case. Knight says that the show will follow a new generation of Shelbys in the sequel. The Immortal Man will act as a bridge between the original show, which ran for 6 seasons, and the new iteration. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
WRCE, news from the center and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds and showers as we head through your Monday afternoon. High temperatures only in the lower 60s, a light north breeze. Tonight, shower chances will wind down. We'll see gradual clearing overnight, lows in the lower 40s. On Tuesday, sunshine and upper 60s. Right now, it's 55.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Matner, you're a coffee drinker.
I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning for most of my career. Yeah. You need coffee.
Something.
Or a slap across the face or something. How much coffee do you drink a day? How many cups
not
of coffee?
Not as much as you might think. Maybe 2 16-ounce cups, more or less. Maybe not quite that much some days.
Zahmer, is that true?
I mean, from what I can verify, I don't know what he drinks in the privacy of his own home.
No one knows.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith, we're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'll be joined by the incomparable, the indefatigable Congresswoman Gwen Moore, talking all things shut down and who really bears the responsibility. Hint, it's Trump.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream.
Hey, live stream.
On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up at the very end of the show, we will wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Can You Dig It edition. Calvin found it. It's good. I like this one. It's kind of historical for me. There's a family tie to this story for me.
Okay. All right. Yeah, okay. You know, family tie.
Yes.
I'm not part of your family.
Well, no, but
my last name is Bach.
All right. And we have Brewers coming up later on today.
Yep. Game two.
Game one, we won.
We won handily and was wonderful.
It was a good thing.
Yep.
It was a 9-3.
9-3.
It's pretty great. Tonight, game two of the NLDS, Brewers hosting the Cubbies. Our broadcast will start tonight at 7:30. Mm-hmm. You cannot listen on the stream. You have to listen to actual radio, terrestrial radio.
Yeah.
So listen to the game. Again, our coverage starting at 7:30 on WRCE in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls, WBZH, Good Morning Hayward and Hayward, and here in Racine and Kenosha on WRJN. The crew hosting the Cubs tonight. Our broadcast starts 7:30. I think the first pitch goes out about 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And if you are going to be traveling along I-94 south.
God help you.
South and north from Milwaukee to Chicago, expect lots of company.
Yeah, I'm. Oh, no. No, I should be good.
You're going to be all right?
I'll be in Milwaukee tonight, but I'll be along the lakefront for the start of the Milwaukee Comedy Festival.
That's right.
Which unofficially kicks off with the roast of Milwaukee tonight, the Cooperage, which I think is like the 8th or 9th annual now.
And our friend Kristen Bry.
Our friend Kristen Bry will be hosting the event as well as having wonderful comedians from the city giving loving but ribbing tributes to the city that be and the surrounding areas. So you want to come out 7:30. It's at the Cooperage. You can find tickets at mkecomedyfest.com.
Should be a lot of
fun. Put on by the Milwaukee Record. And then we have events going through the rest of the week, and we'll talk more about that. But we have shows every single night, multiple shows on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Amazing headliners. Punky Johnson from SNL, Aparna Nancherla, who's been on movies, TVs, author, Sean Patton, whose new show English Teachers premiered second season on FX, and Patton Oswalt.
That's a big guest.
If I get to meet him, it's gonna be difficult.
He's gonna plot. Yes,
I'm verklempt.
Well, it will include a link into to the Milwaukee Comedy Festival.
Correct.
In our show notes. Yeah. So check that out. You can find our show notes at civicmedia.us. Mm-hmm. Go to the top, click on shows, go to Matt Nair on Air, and then there's archive shows there with
2 months.
2 months with the great notes that Greg puts together with all the links that you need for things that we've talked about in the show and articles and all such things. All right. This is the portion of the show we call Audio Sorbet, where we take a breath, get away from the news, talk about something silly.
Audio Sorbet. We clean your ears with fun.
I want that on a pillow. It's Audio Sorbet, and today our Audio Sorbet is, how do you alarm?
Yeah.
How do you wake up in the morning? 855-752-4842. Do you have an old radio clock alarm? Is it maybe you have a fancy schmancy Apple Watch? Maybe it's just your phone. Maybe you don't use an alarm. Many years ago, I dated a guy, wonderful man, who never set an alarm.
Mm-hmm.
And he was never late for anything. And he said, before I go to sleep, I think of the time I need to be up, and then I just wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I would I would be late for everything.
Oh, awesome.
I would not. Could you do that?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you meant you didn't do that, therefore you were late. Okay, so...
Could you just go to sleep and say, I'm going to wake myself up tomorrow at 5:30?
No, not at all. In fact, no, not at all. I get... When I used to do Pat's show, I had to be here by no later than really 5:30, 5:35. But I would still be rushing. So I like to get here like 5, 5:15, just so I had some time to space out, to get comfy, do the things I needed to do.
Get a cup of coffee.
Exactly. 2-3 cups of coffee. I set alarms. I have an alarm on my phone that goes directly to my watch. I wear my watch while I sleep. And almost inevitably... I will wake up before my alarm goes out. I will sometimes wake up and then fall back to sleep, and then it will wake me up. But most times, especially during the week for work, I wake up 5, 10, 20 minutes before the alarm
goes
off.
You do?
Yes. But that would never tempt me to go alarmless, because I know the one time. Now, luckily now, there's no chance I'm sleeping until 9 o'clock anymore, unless I go to bed, say, like 5 o'clock in the morning.
You're just going
to
wake up.
But for our show, I don't have to be here at 7. If I'm 15 minutes late, it's going to be fine. But still, I'm not tempting the demons of fate. I have to have an alarm, even if I wake up before that, because I just can't. And I don't know how you feel about this. When you have, say, like a flight, or you must be up to do something, do you sleep well at all that night?
No.
Nope.
No.
Never.
Yeah. No. You toss and you turn and you look at the clock every 2 hours, right? And it's like,
oh, yeah.
Now I have to get up in 3 hours. Now I have to get up in 2 hours. How do you alarm? 855-752-4842. Do you have an alarm clock? Do you use your phone? Do you have a fancy schmancy Apple Watch that wakes you up? Maybe you just wake up.
Maybe you have that internal alarm clock.
Yeah, that internal clock, which is, that's really quite something. 855-75-CIVIC. Linda from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Linda. Thanks for joining us.
Hello.
Good morning.
I wake up to Civic Media, Pat Greenlow, every morning, Monday through Friday.
That's fabulous. So you use a radio alarm.
The check's in the mail.
I use a radio and I set it to the music thing.
Yeah.
And Pat Greenlow every morning. And then on Sunday mornings, I'm in Eau Claire, and Sunday mornings they have that fabulous old-time music.
Yes.
Music of the stars.
Music of the stars.
Yes.
Well, that's great, Linda. Really, thank you so much. We appreciate that. Well, we'll pass that along to Pat. Actually, he's going to join us tomorrow.
And honestly, like Civic Media overlords, bosses, and people I really respect, are you listening? We didn't even ask for that. Plugging the great programs of Civic Media right here on Matt and Air on Air. 9 to 11, Monday through Friday on Civic Media.
855-752-4842. How do you alarm? We just heard from Linda. She actually lists clock radio. Love that.
The dulcet tones.
The dulcet tones of Pat Greenlow. Brett in Brown Deer texting in, listening on WAUK. I have always had a clock in my head. Even in the Army, I was never late because I can wake up anytime I decide. It has never failed me. I applaud you, Brett. That's a skill I don't have.
See, the thing is, I wish I could wake up. I feel like I do, to a certain degree, have what Brett has. I just haven't. I feel like the military would definitely hone that. The question I have for Brett, it's Brett, correct?
It's Brett.
The question I have for Brett is, when you do wake up at the right time, do you still wake up in what feels like a waking nightmare and go, I'm late? And you're not late at all? Especially on, like, say, yesterday when I woke up thinking I was late. It was Sunday morning. I had nowhere to go.
And did you think you were late for work?
Oh, yeah. I was like, what's going on today? What do I have to do? Oh, it's Sunday. I have to do nothing today but watch Simon and Simon and pet my dog.
855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. How do you alarm? Mark in Jefferson, listening on WAUK, says Alexa is the one that wakes me
up. There you go.
Megan in Sun Prairie on WMDX. I use my phone alarm on weekdays. Mm-hmm. No alarm for weekends, but I always wake up within an hour of my usual alarm clock time anyway, which is super annoying.
I am the same. So I have an alarm that goes off Monday through Friday. no alarms on Saturdays and Sundays unless we have to. And Bridget will always tell me, oh, I thought she would have slept in. And I'm getting out of bed. I'm getting out of the bedroom around like 7:30, 8 o'clock. I'm like, that was sleeping in. Like, I am so used to between my old days of 4:30, 4:15 getting up and now getting up at 6 a.m., for me, if I sleep until 7:30, 8, I feel like I am luxurious in life and paradise.
Yeah.
Just so, yeah, I don't sleep, quote, in. I don't, it's not like I walk out of the bedroom and they're like, good afternoon. That never happens. Plus, I'd feel so guilty if I did.
How do you alarm? 855-752-4842. Calvin, what about you? Because there was a period of time when you were pulling some pretty early shifts, too.
Yeah, so I get up with an alarm. I'm a big fan of the snooze button. I also live at home with my parents, and usually my mom also peeks her head in my room and says, hey, get up, as my alarm's going off three times.
So do you snooze two or three times?
Yeah, my alarm starts going off at 6:30, and I usually don't get out of bed till 10 to 7.
Okay. My alarm goes off at 6, and I'm usually like, I might hit that snoozer once. I can't do, if I do it a second time, then all of a sudden it's almost 6:30 and then I'm like, oh
yeah.
And then also the dog just is also a fantastic alarm clock.
Well,
who has brute strength and can knock doors down and just run onto my face.
It's time to get up. Yep. Dad.
Play with me.
855-752-4842. How do you alarm? Kirk from Eau Claire, listening on WCFW. My alarm clock radio goes off at 5:30, but our 14-year-old dog, who recently lost her hearing, comes down the hardwood floor hallway to her bedroom and wakes me up between 5 and 5:30 to go outside. Yep. Yeah, the pet is a pretty regular alarm clock.
Yeah, she's great.
Maybell?
Oh, yeah. It's wake you up. Well, I mean, yeah, I just, she's so adorable. I love her so much. Brett got back to us. He said, and my question was, your internal alarm clock allows you to wake up at the same time or when you need to. He does not have the same problem I do, where no matter what happens, I wake up in a rushed, nightmarish scream to say, what have I missed? What have I done? And then there is not a problem whatsoever. In fact, I've woken up 20 minutes before I needed to get up.
Wow, that's amazing.
The CPAP has been wonderful, Jane, but I still sleep not.
You're a light sleeper.
Yeah, I toss and I turn, but I'm not falling asleep during my drive home anymore. So that's great.
We're going to talk more about CPAPs.
Yeah,
and we can do that. Because you and Pat Kreitlow now are both using CPAP and have had really good things to say about it.
It's a world of difference that I didn't think was possible. I didn't realize that I had... I didn't realize how much of a problem it was. I felt like everyone was as tired as I was because I'm not special. So, yeah,
very happy. It's been a good thing.
Yeah.
It's been a very good thing. Well, however you alarm, we are very happy to have you along with us. When we return, we're going to wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Can You Dig It, Baby Edition?
Oh, baby, yeah.
Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the vast statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the world on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased
quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Baseball coming up later on today. Brewers hosting the Cubbies. Our broadcast starts at 7:30. You can catch it on several civic media stations, but you have to listen on terrestrial radio. Mm-hmm. If you're in the Racine, Kenosha area, you can listen to the game on WRJN 99.9 FM, 1400 AM in Racine and Kenosha. Crew hosting the Cubs. Our broadcast starts at 7:30. First pitch goes out, I think, about 8 o'clock.
I think it's 8:05.
It's going to be a late game.
Let's. I'll look it up right now so we can get the full.
Be specific about it.
Dear Google.
Yes. So we will let you know in just a second. Coming up on the show tomorrow, Pat Kreitlow, host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, will be joining us after 9:30. The fabulous farm babe, Pam Yonke, is going to be here. We haven't talked to her in way too long.
Two things. It starts at 8:08 tonight, p.m. That's when the game starts.
Okay.
I love Pam
Yonke. She's fabulous.
And really quick, Sholly Pittman was talking about immigration and whatnot, and as far as, like, going to farms. Hans Breitenmoser, who is a frequent guest on Pat's show, is a dairy farmer. Darren Von Ruden is a dairy farmer. And Pam Yonke, we don't generally get into politics, But they can all speak volumes on what's happening right now.
Absolutely.
So I love having our farming resources here at Civic Media. You can also download the Midwest Farm Report as a podcast and get the great updates you need by you doing should. That.
And Terry Barr is going to be here. Civic Media's genie of just about everything.
That lady.
She is. She's amazing. And Terry's going to join us for a little slice of Wisconsin for tomorrow's audio sorbet. So that is all on the way. I hope you can join us tomorrow starting at 9 o'clock. Right now, Calvin, getting approaching 10:55. That means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
As always, if you find a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this on Vice. Ashley Fike has the byline. Headline reads, Inside Hungary's Grave Digging World Championship Competition. My father was a mortician. Hungary has a sporting event that few countries could imagine hosting. The International Grave Digging Championships.
I feel like this whole segment's just become weird, dumb contests from around the world.
That's in a big umbrella.
Yes.
Big umbrella. The 8th edition of this event happened last month, bringing together professional cemetery workers to see who could dig and refill a grave the fastest while keeping it neat and tidy.
You are in a level of enjoyment right now that I've never seen. It's just ridiculous.
Each team of two faced the same task. Dig a grave measuring about 6.5 feet by about 2.5 feet by just over 5 feet deep. And then replace it with 2.5 tons of dirt. The teams are scored on speed, accuracy, and presentation. Clean edges in a tidy burial mound carry almost as much weight as finishing quickly. You want it to be neat. This year's champions Laszlo Kiss and Robert Nagy of Hungary defending their title with a time of 1 hour, 33 minutes, and 20 seconds. The pair credit their win to habits built in their daily work rather than any special training. At the other end of the scoreboard, a Russian team from Novosibirsk Crematorium, they blame the hot weather for coming in last.
Sounds like a bunch of losers to me. Losers can't accepting their loserdom.
First held in 2016, the championship's only been interrupted once by the COVID pandemic. Hungary's Association of Cemetery Operators created it not just for spectacle, but to honor a profession that usually goes unseen.
I mean, there's a... I got nothing to say here, really. I'm speechless. I just think it's very funny that in Viktor Orban's country, there is a grave digging.
Oh, I think it fits perfectly in Viktor Orban's Hungary.
He's drafting on
he's betting on this. Are you kidding me?
I love the way you dig grave. That's not a person from Hungary.
So very,
I just don't know that accent.
It's so very neat. The edges are clean.
The edges, the soil is so beautiful.
Beyond the spectacle, this acts as a reminder the most basic task in death care, the literal digging, still relies on people.
Yeah.
The event closes out with medals and trophies, symbols that mean more than the hardware itself because they recognize the skill and endurance in a profession most people never consider.
Does that mean if you win this contest, you get to charge people more money when they get your services? Like, I don't care how fast you dig.
Wouldn't you advertise that?
I guess, but also does that really bring we want the best people who dig graves? I don't know a Hungarian accent, I'm sorry, but it's just I don't know how you advertise this into money for your company. You know what I mean?
I do. There's a marketer out there somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure this was also on DraftKings.
Our edges are cleaner than anybody else. That's all you need. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
I love how much you love this. I love how much you... Do you think your father would have loved something like this?
I think he would have appreciated this.
Yeah, he had a little pennant that says... Go kiss.
Go gravediggers of America. Yeah. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening and for watching on the stream. It all means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have Tom Hartman coming up right after the news on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Illinois and Chicago have filed a lawsuit aiming to stop President Trump's administration from sending hundreds of National Guard troops to Chicago. The lawsuit stating the American people, regardless of where they reside, should not live under threat of occupation by the U.S. military. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson also speaking out about the ICE agents who've been patrolling the streets of his city.
We have a rogue, reckless group of heavily armed mass individuals roaming throughout our city that are not accountable to the people of Chicago. Their actions put all Chicagoans at risk.
Pivotal talks between Israel and Hamas have begun in Egypt on the disarmament of Hamas, the release of the remaining hostages, and the future governance of Gaza. Supreme Court rejecting an appeal from the longtime Jeffrey Epstein associate Ghislaine Maxwell, who's arguing she should never have been tried and convicted. The Nobel Prize in Medicine awarded to three scientists working on the human immune system. This is ABC News.